Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of those annoying participatory sermons that Lutherans really hate, because this is supposed to be your resting time. But unfortunately, the word does not work that way, and we call it liturgy for a reason. Liturgy is the work of the people. So, I need you to think for a moment about the best advice you ever got about your faith or church. 30 seconds. Best advice you ever got. Maybe it came from your mother, your father, your great aunt Tessie. Maybe Dexter over here gave you some good advice one day. That's his new name, Dexter. So, anybody, the best advice you ever got about church or faith? Yes?
Pastor John Jules in Adelaide, when I was 17, and he, in a sermon, he said, if you don't believe, you'll go to hell. Well, I was with
you. If you don't believe, you'll go to hell. I bet it did. It would me too. I've talked to a lot of young people who said that it's made them bolt right out of the church. But that's good. Yeah, thank you. Great advice. Yes? Showing up is 90% of the deal, especially if you come before the ushers count. 90% of life is showing up. Yes, Pastor.
My brother.
Oh, David.
Is one to use the words in the gospel and then follow up with, it'll all work out.
Yes, it'll all work out. Believe or you'll go to hell, it'll all work out.
Do not worry.
Okay. Other, just real quick, yes, where am I? Yes, please. God is in charge. Excellently done. I say that every time the council blames me for something. Yes.
Only people of faith doubt.
Only people of faith doubt. You must have been reading Hebrews.
Faith.
You heard that. Yeah, so did Paul apparently. Yeah, anything else? Just great advice, bad advice, any kind of advice. The golden rule. What is that, Mr. Zimmer? And where does that come from in the scriptures? Mr. Minnesota Lutheran. How many of you think it came from Jesus? Good, you're wrong. It's from the least place you would never guess it to come from. Leviticus. Who knew? Even Leviticus has something to say. Well, I ask you about all of this advice because, in a way, the gospel lesson for today could just sort of be advice for Christians on the move. Be dressed. Be ready for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like the ones who are waiting for the master to come home from the wedding banquet so that they can open the door. Be ready. If you knew what hour someone was going to break into your house, you'd be ready for them to be there. So be ready. And all through this whole section of Luke, it's as if Jesus is giving people good advice about how to be Christian. Believe or you'll go to hell. Show up or you'll go to hell. Doubt or you don't have faith. Do unto others before they do it unto you. No, that wasn't quite right. That was Donald Trump, not Leviticus. But all of that advice doesn't really mean anything for us without how Jesus starts in Luke 12:32. All of that good advice is framed by, do not be afraid. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, all good advice, make purses for yourself that don't wear out, really good advice. No thief, put up your treasure in a place where no thief comes and no moth destroys, all good advice. But when you couple it with, it is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom, it means something altogether different. Because the good advice is just telling you how to please God and how to please others so that they like you and so that you appear as a good Christian, as someone pure and holy, as someone ready to receive and worthy to receive God's love. But all that good advice gets prefaced by the fact that you've already been given the gift. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, this isn't this kingdom that has become so popular today in some parts of Christianity where God will come and issue in the new kingdom. And all of this stuff that you've been suffering right now will just go away. And it's like pushing the reset button on your Xbox 360. Whoop, new game. Right? It's not like that. Jesus doesn't say it is your Father's good pleasure that someday you will inherit the kingdom and everything will be set right. Jesus says it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in the present tense. God has already set the kingdom in motion in Jesus Christ. And gifted it to you. And it's not that the good advice doesn't matter. It's important. All of that good advice, or at least most of it, except the whole part about if you don't believe you're going to go to hell, because that's contrary to Scripture, is all really good. But it's within the context that God has already done for you all that is necessary. Well, that means Christian people and people who believe in God all around the world have a different agenda then. It's not about following a rule or doing a liturgy a certain way or singing or dressing or being a certain way in church so that you earn God's pleasure, for God has already pleased with you. That's not it. You see, I think that's what good old Isaiah is getting at in the first reading when he says, you people, your sacrifices, I've had enough of burnt offering of rams and beasts and all of that stuff. All I want you to do is to live in the kingdom that God has given you in this faith. But instead, we have a tendency within the church and within religion in general to live out of fear, to live out of habit, which is not kingdom living. My friend Paul Kirchner, who serves at Lihue Lutheran in Lihue, told me the funniest story out of his first parish. He said every Sunday they would get up and everyone would be, it was a small church, it was a fairly large building, but lots of pews, but not a lot of people. And at the beginning of the service, everyone would be sitting on the outside against the windows. And then right after the sermon, during the hymn of the day, everybody would move to the middle, next to the aisle. And this happened week after week. In the morning when they got there, everyone would be out on the outside toward the windows. And then right after the sermon, everyone would move to the center. And Paul, it being his first call, thought, well, did I miss something in liturgy class? So one day he asked one of the old women there in the parish, what is this all about? Is there some deep meaning? And she started to laugh. And she said, no. When the church was built, the furnace was right in the middle of the aisle. And at the beginning of the service, the fire had been all built up and it was just flaming and hot. And so everybody sat on the outside because it was too hot. Well, then by the time the end of the sermon came, the fire had cooled down, and there's no insulation, and so everybody would move closer to the fire. Well, after central heat came in, it just never occurred to them to stop doing that. A practice of habit. But if you could imagine for a moment living as if this promise of the kingdom was true, that what God proposes is indeed for you and for all of God's creation, suddenly the admonition to be ready takes on a different case. No longer are you getting ready for some future promise, future reality, but you're getting ready for God's life in you now, and in your community, and in your country, and in your world. Getting ready means taking the life that you have been given in baptism through your parents and through your children and through your community and making of it something worthy of the kingdom. For Isaiah, that means service. That means helping the widows and the poor. It means not just going for the appointed festivals, but living as if God was present with you now. Could the admonition be ready be a reminder to live as if God is real and present? And that the kingdom that occupies such a lot of Jesus' rhetoric has something to do with what we are up to right now? If it does, then it means that we can engage in the extraordinary life of faith right now. I find that really exciting. I think I would give different advice about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be churched if I lived as if the kingdom was now. Do you remember when you were a kid? How did your parents get you to church? Do you remember? My parents were not parents of the rod. My parents were parents of the carrot, not the stick. So my parents said, if you come to church, we'll go to breakfast afterwards. I got fat, honestly. Every Sunday I went to church. But what if we were people who lived out that Hebrews definition of faith, of things that are assured, of things that we don't see, and conviction of those things that we hope for? What if it is that we live as if the kingdom were now and that God was present in it with you and calling you to live out that kingdom? Well, it would take some imagination, wouldn't it? It would take more than simply reciting over and over again the things that we learned when we were little. It would mean that we would have to imagine a new church in every age, a new way to live out that faith in response to life. So lately on our own staff, we've been working on trying to freshen things up and live as if we were not a church that's 110 years old, but live as if we were a new church every year. And trust me, it's not always easy. In staff meeting last week, we got to arguing about... Yeah, I hear her laughing. We got to arguing about the website, right? Our website has approximately 10,477 pages and history back to the beginning of time. And the new website, we're starting to go, and finally Angela says, "You just have to trust me!" You did too. I was there. But you see, the kingdom is coming in a new way. And those of us who are used to the kingdom being a certain way, might just have to step out of the way. Sometimes we do have to trust that the Spirit and God are at work in the world. And sometimes we even have to quit stepping off to the side and say, fine, I'll let you do what you're going to do, but it's going to fail. Which it will. And imagine that the Holy Spirit is at work in this kingdom, doing wonderful and amazing things through God's people, through you, so that truly our faith becomes assurance of things hoped for and convictions of things not seen. For by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that all things could come into being for the kingdom. So fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.